Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, New York and New Jersey would lose hundreds of millions of dollars to the sequester budget, and peak waiting time at JFK Airport could hit 4 hours, according to the White House. We'll get details. We'll review the Oscars and the Oscar telecast, like did Family Guy Seth MacFarlane make it a family-unfriendly Oscar show? Plus, Hoboken Mayor Dawn Zimmer today on her proposal for Hudson River walls to protect against future Sandys. Not all environmentalists like this idea. We continue our series on English language idioms today, including and/or idioms like by hook or by crook or hue and cry, and the band They Might Be Giants on making it in the Pandora, Spotify, YouTube era. And we'll get going with all of that right after a brief reminder that we're in the home stretch of our winter membership drive, which ends on Wednesday. So please get your donations of support into our website at WNYC.org or on the phone at 1-888-376-WNYC. And today we have the first matching period of the drive during the Brian Lehrer Show. We haven't had any of these earlier. And some of you wait for them, I know. So for every $2 that you pledge right now, the Kaplan Foundation will add another dollar. And we thank them for their generosity, and we thank you for yours as we're in the last 3 days of the drive. For every $2 that you can pledge today, the Kaplan Foundation will add another $1. So please help us take maximum advantage of that with your first-time donation or your renewal of your membership to WNYC. Also, this is all the money in half the time day, which means if we can raise $150,000 by noon, we'll take a break from the fundraising for the rest of the day. The morning team got us halfway there, so we've got to bring in $75,000 in the next 2 hours, which we can do if everybody who listens regularly and has not yet donated this year does your part for 2013. So please help us reach that goal by donating something to help us run the radio station and shortening the drive by half a day. Also, whatever you pledge now will be matched at another 50% of whatever you pledge by the Kaplan Foundation. So please do it at WNYC.org or call 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692. Thank you so much, everybody. Now, Stephen Dennis from Roll Call to update us on the scramble to avoid, or maybe it's a scramble to implement, the sequester budget, which will take effect on Friday without a deal. The White House released estimates yesterday indicating New York and New Jersey would lose hundreds of millions to the sequester in the next 7 months alone, and peak waiting time at JFK Airport could be more than 4 hours. Hi, Steve. Thanks for coming back on. Steve Dennis, can you hear me? Stephen Dennis from Roll Call.
I can hear you.
Now I got you. Sorry about
that.
Okay,
is that good?
Yeah. So is this the White House strategy now, trying to get local media all over the country to dwell on local doomsday scenarios if the sequester takes place?
Absolutely, and I think it's no mistake that they're doing this right up against the deadline to really ramp up the pressure. It's really a full-court press for the last week and for the next week. Pressure on House Republicans to cave on tax loopholes for the wealthy and for corporations, which is what the White House is demanding to have as part of any deal to stop a sequester. And this is really going back 2 years. This has been a fight that the two sides, the two parties, have been wrangling over taxes. And the Republicans said, hey, this was going to be resolved with a fiscal cliff deal. We gave you $600 billion. Well, the White House says that's not enough. And so here we are. And there's no real expectation that they're going to stop this sequester before Friday. There's going to be a lot of sort of machinations on both sides to try and say they're trying to prevent it. But most of these cuts, most of the impact would not take place really for probably another month until April 1st. The things that really affect people, like airport delays, you can't furlough federal employees until you give them 30 days notice. So a lot of the notices haven't gone out yet. So a lot of those impacts on services would take a little time to trickle out. And plus, you know, states would have you know, the option, you know, just because they're losing, you know, I think New York, I'm seeing would lose $42.7 million for schools. Well, you know, New York would have a choice. Would they want to redo their budget and fill that hole, or find, you know, find it somewhere else, or are they going to cut the schools? You know, and that's, you know, that trickles all the way down to the school boards all across America, and that's what the White House is really counting on, that there will be pushback. And you've seen pushback now from the governors, Republican and Democratic governors, don't like these cuts, don't like them coming in the middle of a fiscal year like this. You know, they're already working on next year's budgets, let alone having to fill holes from last year's budget.
Absolutely. So how specific are they getting about the impact on New York and New Jersey? You mentioned that number, $43 million. For the rest of this fiscal year, just for education in New York, I had only seen the top line number, which was $275 million total in a cut for New York for the rest of the year. So they're breaking it down kind of topic area by topic area?
Yeah, there's another line, $36 million for staff and aides and teachers who deal with children with disabilities. There's funding for 4,300 Head Start children in New York, 4,500 low-income students in New York who receive aid for going to college would be cut. 4,150 fewer students will get work-study jobs that help them pay for college. It's sort of a two-page fact sheet they sent out. It's everything you can imagine, from vaccines for children, public health, millions of dollars, and it's because this sequester cuts everything. So if you're getting almost everything, so if you're getting money from the federal government, you're getting a grant, et cetera, there's going to be less money coming in. And so this is going to have a broad impact. And, you know, that's why there's probably going to be a deal at some point in the next month or two, simply because you're going to have all these members of Congress getting calls from whether it be local unions or teachers groups or even the business community doesn't like this. They don't like the idea of things that affect their bottom line, like if you're an airline and you're going to have to start canceling thousands of flights because nobody wants to wait for 4 hours in line until their flight can take off. That's real money, real bottom line stuff. So at some point in the next several weeks, you're likely to see something happen. The Senate this week is going to take up a Democratic bill that would replace the sequester through the end of this year, half with tax increases and half with spending cuts. But those spending cuts would take effect over the next decade, so it would be a much slower reduction in spending. And that's not likely to go anywhere. The House has already said it's dead on arrival, even if Senate Republicans don't filibuster it. So at any rate, the president this week is going to be going back on the road. Next, you know, tomorrow he's going to be in shipyards in Virginia talking about all the defense cuts there. And today he's talking again to the governors and trying to enlist their help to convince their members of Congress to come up with a compromise.
Stephen Dennis from Roll Call with us as we count down the last day's politics before the sequester budget, or describe the last day's politics. You mentioned airports a couple of times. Airports and air safety seem to be an especially vulnerable spot under the sequester that the White House is trying to emphasize. Releasing the stat of four-hour peak wait times at JFK is one example of that. I don't even know what peak wait times means, whether that happens every rush hour or if that's the worst it could get. But it's a scary-sounding stat, which is their intent. So let me play another. This is Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood on CNN's State of the Union yesterday.
The largest number of employees at DOT is at FAA, of which the largest number are FAA controllers. We're going to try and cut as much as we possibly can out of contracts and other things that we do. But in the end, there has to be some kind of furlough of air traffic controllers. And that then will also begin to curtail or eliminate the opportunity for them to guide planes in and out of airports.
Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood. Stephen, how specifically does the sequester budget law tie the transportation secretary's hands? Can he not divert money from other things to air traffic control?
No. I mean, the way it works is every program in your budget gets cut by the same percentage. So, you know, Congress says, well, you have so much for air traffic control and so much for building new runways, for example. And he actually mentioned that, you know, he does not have the flexibility to take the money from the airport construction fund, which does have billions of dollars in it, to make the cuts there instead. And that's sort of one of the reasons why sequester was drawn up this way, is because it doesn't make sense and it's not a smart way to do it. And the idea is that that would then prompt a compromise. But, you know, so far it's not working. And so, you know, one of the things you're starting to see efforts in Congress, particularly on the Republican side, is trying to maybe pass a bill that would give the secretaries and give the administration that flexibility to sort of make these transfers and make smarter decisions. But it's not clear anything like that could pass either chamber of Congress at this point, or it would even get the signature of the White House. And they've also warned that a lot of the secretaries have warned, even if you gave them the flexibility, you'd be giving them very bad choices. The Department of Education, for example, the Secretary Arne Duncan said, you know, what do you want me to do, essentially? Do you want me to cut Pell Grants for poor and middle-income kids to go to college, or do you want me to cut money that goes to pay teachers at local school districts? You know, the choices that he faces aren't
right.
so hot.
Nevertheless, more flexibility has got to be better for all those managers than less flexibility. But on that scenario, the possibility that a bill would be passed to make the sequester less rigid. Here's a clip of Senator John McCain, who, for one, would have none of that talk. Here he is on CNN State of the Union.
And I say to my Republican friends, if you want to just give the president flexibility as to how to enact these cuts in defense spending, then why don't we go home and just give him the money? I am totally opposed to that.
Explain the nature of that opposition by McCain and others to giving the president more flexibility to implement the sequester limits.
Well, it's an institutional concern, and it's also a concern of power. You know, if you give the president authority to spend the money how he wants, a lot of members of Congress will see that as an inherent violation of their constitutional duty to have the power of the purse and say where the money goes. And then on top of it, there's just a power question. If you give the president broad authority to make the cuts on his own, that could come back to haunt you. He could just say, well, here are all these Republican priorities that are in the budget, and I'm going to cut those instead. That's something that, very few members of Congress with power over the purse strings really want to give up. And so, you know, we're just stuck in this stalemate likely for at least another few days. I think there will be at least one last-ditch effort to try and come up with something towards the end of this week. There may even be, you know, we have yet to see a meeting at the White House in recent weeks with all the top leaders. The president called them all last week. Will there be sort of a, you know, big White House meeting with the top leaders, with the speaker, et cetera, this week to try and say they're working on something? It's not clear. Nothing's on the schedule, but in past crises, something like that has happened. But right now, you basically have two sides that are very dug in, and there's no easy answers on this one,
right.
Unless one side blinks, or they, you know, what they did on the debt ceiling a month or two ago was they agreed to just pretend it doesn't exist for a few months. Theoretically, they could pretend the sequester doesn't exist for a few months as well, and sort of kick the can down the road that way. But, you know, there's no real movement towards that either.
Tell me one other thing before you go, and we just have a minute. Is the Republican strategy in Congress the same as what I'm hearing on conservative talk radio, where a lot of the talk is, hey, allow the sequester to happen and hope the impact is not that bad and score this giant conservative ideological victory in saying, see how bloated the government is? We made all these sequester cuts, and the sky is not falling.
Yeah, I mean, on the conservative side, you know, while the leadership says, you know, John Boehner says this is endangering our national security and a terrible thing, you do have a few members of Congress, and it's a growing group in the Republican ranks, who are starting to like the sequester and or certain parts of it, and they want to see those cuts.
So it's almost the power of the Tea Party in the Republican caucus versus the power of the military-industrial complex, which is lobbying against these cuts.
Well, that was the White House plan all along, was to split the Republicans into camps and sort of have a divide-and-conquer strategy where some Republicans, you know, if you have a big defense industry in your district or, you know, big federal contractors in your district, that's going to be a lot of pressure on you to cave to something the White House wants. And that's, you know, that's why this is set up. You know, this was intended to try and force those two camps to war against each other.
All
and
right.
We're going to see more of that.
All right. Deadline Friday. We'll keep talking about it on the show, obviously, and including inspecting local impacts. And we thank Stephen Dennis, who covers the White House and Congress, for Roll Call. Stephen, thank you very much. Very informative.
All right. Thank you very much. Take care.
Coming up next, we'll review the Oscars and the Oscar telecast. Did Family Guy Seth MacFarlane make it a family-unfriendly show? Stay with us.